Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, so the Purva Paksha in the previous 57.1, the Purva Paksha was presented that because the form of personal form of the Supreme Lord is visible, that it must be temporary and not ultimately real, like other visible forms, like the form of a pot. But that is contradicted by what we are told by Shastra, so you cannot present such a logical argument. It's already, it contradicts other already proven evidence. And the words of, whose words are these? Oh, Krishna. 18. The words of Brahma in his prayers to Krishna are cited. You are the Supreme Soul, the Supreme Lord, eternal, real, infallible. Oh, these are all designations of the Absolute Truth given in the Upanishads. But he's addressing the personal form of the Lord, Krishna, and as the Absolute Truth, he and everything about him is real, including his personal form. We continue with 57.2. Further discussing what Brahma says in his prayers. Naomi dhyate ityadina stutyatvena pratigyata rupoyam abravapur adi lakshanas Tvam eka eva sarvesham atma paramashrayaha. Okay, so this is Jiva Goswami commenting on the verse of Lord Brahma. Let me read the verse again. Ekas tvam atma purushak purana satyak svayam jyotir ananta adya Nityokshara jasra sukho niranjana purno dvayo mukta uparito mrita. You are the one Supreme Soul, the primeval Supreme Personality, the Absolute Truth, self-manifested, endless and beginningless. You are eternal and infallible, perfect and complete, without any rival, and free from all material designations. So these sound like impersonal qualities, features of the impersonal Supreme, but they're evidence that Krishna's body is real. Your happiness can never be obstructed, and you are free from all imaginary features. Indeed, you are the indestructible nectar of immortality. So that Absolute Truth, namely Krishna, when he shows a form, that form is real. It's not temporary. Okay. Now, you who in the words beginning, I offer my respects to you. That's the very beginning of Brahma's prayers. Now, Midyate. You have been confirmed as worthy of praise and described with such qualities as having like a body like a rain cloud, abravapur. In that very first verse, he's described as having a body like a rain cloud. You are alone the soul, the supreme shelter of everyone. Taruktam eko si pratamam iti krishnam enam avehi tvam atmanam akhilatmanam iti cha. This was indicated by the statements, first you were present alone. That was Brahma in the prayers describing that you were there by yourself, and then you expanded as all the cowherd boys and calves, and then they all turned into Vishnus, and then they merged back into you. This is all what Brahma experienced with his own eyes. And also, Shukadev's comment, at the end of the chapter, you should know Krishna to be the original soul of all living entities. So both those statements confirm Krishna is the absolute truth. Yatas tvam atma tata eva satyaha paramashrayasya satyatam avalambhyaiv anyesham satyatvat tvayeva satyatvasya mukhya vishrantir iti bhavaha. So a reason for this conclusion, that Krishna is the original soul, he's the supreme absolute truth, is that, as Brahma is saying in the current verse, you are the soul, Atma, and therefore you are real, Satyaha, since all others are real only by relying on the reality of the supreme shelter. In other words, the concept of reality finds its primary repose in you alone. What does it mean to be real? It means to be coming from Krishna, to be connected with Krishna. What does it mean to be good? Whatever is connected with Krishna is good, is real, is absolute. The very idea of reality rests in Krishna. Or in the Sanskrit words, satya tvasya, the very idea of being satya, mukhya vishrantir, tvayi eva, in you alone, is where the idea of being real finds its main shelter. Tadoktam satya vratam satya param ityadi, satye pratishtita krishna, satyamatra pratishtitam satyad satyam jagovindas tasmat satyo hinamataha iti udyama parvani cha. The same is expressed in such words as, you never deviate from your vow, and you are the supreme truth. That's the demigods praying to Krishna in the womb. And also the statement of the Udyama Parva of the Mahabharata. Krishna is established in truth, and truth is established in him. Govinda is more true than truth itself, and so he has the name Truth. He's called Satya. What is Satya? What is real? Whatever is connected with him. By definition, he's real, and everything connected with him is real. Okay, now the commentary. Brahma declared in his prayers that Krishna is the supreme shelter. That statement about you were alone first. Here's the whole verse. Ajayeva tvadvite syakim mama nate mayatvam adarshitam eko si pratamam tato vrajasarid vatsa samasta api tavanto si chaturbujas tadakilaik sakam mayopasitas tavant yeva jagantyabhus tadamitam brahmadvayam shishyate. Brahma says, have you not shown me today that both you yourself and everything within this creation are manifestations of your inconceivable potency. First you appeared alone, and then you manifested as all of Vrindavan's calves and cowherd boys, your friends. Next you appeared as an equal number of four-handed Vishnu forms, who were worshipped by all living beings, including me. And after that, you appeared as an equal number of complete universes. Finally, you have now returned to your unlimited form as the Supreme Absolute Truth, one without a second. Shukadev reconfirmed this in his words, beginning Krishna Menam Avehi Twam, which has been discussed in text 55. Okay, that's Shukadev saying that later on in the chapter. In the prayer under discussion, beginning Ekas Twam, Brahma referred... Wait a minute, did it begin Ekas Twam? Ekas Twam Atma, Purushat Purana, back in 57.1. We're still in 57, so that's the topic, that's the verse under discussion. In that verse, beginning Ekas Twam, Brahma referred to Krishna as Atma, the Supreme Soul, and Satyaha, eternally real. The demigods also prayed to Krishna similarly when he was still in his mother's womb, calling him Satyavratam, always true to his vow, and Satya Param, the Supreme Truth. In the Udyama Parva of the Mahabharata, also known as the Udyoga Parva, the Udyama Parva is the usual name we see is Udyoga Parva. Here it's called Udyama Parva by Jiva Goswami. The word is synonymous. Udyama, Udyoga mean the same thing. Endeavor, effort. That means the preparations for the battle of Kurukshetra. In that Parva of the Mahabharata, which recounts the preparations for the Kurukshetra battle, Dhritarashtra wanted Sanjaya to evaluate the relative strengths of the contending sides. But Sanjaya was hesitant to answer to the point, since the facts would be disappointing to his master. He asked Sanjaya. It was confusing. Who was he, Sanjaya or Dhritarashtra? Sanjaya asked first that Vyasadeva and Dhritarashtra's wife Gandhari be present. So he said, I'll give you the answer, comparison of the strength of the two armies. But first I want Dhritarashtra, Vyasadeva and Gandhari to be present, and then I'll talk. The four of them and also Duryodhan met together. Duryodhan was there too. And Vyasadeva asked Sanjaya to tell everything. Okay, now Vyasadeva's asking him. Sanjaya then explained to Dhritarashtra the unequaled greatness of Krishna and Arjuna. He gave his opinion that Krishna is Purushottama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Duryodhan, even though he could not deny this, refused to surrender to Krishna's will because Krishna was friendly to the sons of Pandu. For this, Gandhari rebuked her son, warning him of his imminent ruin. Is this in the movie? I don't know, but it's in the Mahabharata. Vyasa agreed, the television show. I think it's there. Vyasa agreed that Krishna was Purushottama, adding that Dhritarashtra was actually Krishna's devotee. Vyasa said, Krishna is Purushottama. He said that Dhritarashtra is really Krishna's devotee. Dhritarashtra hoping for some chance to obtain Krishna, then asked Sanjaya to explain the meaning of Krishna's names and activities. Sanjaya's response included the verse beginning Satye Pratishtita. So this was on the request of Dhritarashtra, please tell me about Krishna's glories. Doesn't mean he was going to change his mind about supporting his sons in the battle, but he wanted to hear Krishna's glories. Okay, any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Very well. Thank you. Krishna Prabhuji, can you please explain what does it mean, satyat, satyam, cha govindas, that Govinda is more truth than truth itself?
Because so you may think something is true, that the human race appeared 150,000 years ago from monkeys. You may think that's the truth, but that's overruled by what Krishna thinks. Krishna is the absolute truth. We didn't come from monkeys, we came from Krishna. So Krishna overrules any other apparent truth if it contradicts. So he's more truth than the truth itself.
So all those truth which we might perceive as truth is a relative truth, but Krishna is absolute truth?
All truth is relative to the reality of Krishna. Whatever is understood as connected with Krishna is true. Ritertam yat pratiyeta, not pratiyeta atmani. Whatever you think is not connected with Krishna, although it can't actually appear without being connected to Krishna. Nothing can exist without being connected to Krishna. But if you think something is disconnected from Krishna, that's maya. That's false. True means to see something properly in the light of its connection with Krishna. And something that has no connection doesn't exist.
So, for example, if you see something which is connected with Krishna as connected with him, so this is truth, but Krishna himself is more truth than this object?
He's the source of truth. Uh-huh. They are dependently true. There's even a statement in the 12th canto that we exist only by Krishna's will. Everything exists only by his will. And if he didn't want it, we wouldn't continue to exist. We would go out of existence if Krishna didn't want us to continue to exist. Not that he's going to do that. But the statement is there in the 12th canto. Okay, anything else on this?
Yes. When there's a statement that says that Krishna himself and the cowherd boys and the calves were all manifestation of his inconceivable potencies.
Where is that?
I think
inconceivable. Let me see. Potency? I just don't remember exactly.
It says you yourself.
I got it. Okay. Well, that's Brahma. Adraiva Twadvite.
How is Krishna himself a manifestation of his inconceivable potency?
Okay, well, not that his existence is by his energy, but his being seen, his manifestation, that we can see him, is the effect of his spiritual energy.
You can say effect, but it's here it's saying is, I think. Well, he himself is a manifestation of.
Well, okay, this statement is here. I don't even see it in the Sanskrit. Adyaiva twadvite syakim mamanate mayatva madarshinam. That everything except for you is your maya. But then the translation says your inconceivable potency, not illusory energy. But the Sanskrit seems to say everything except for you. Whose translation is this? Is this... Can someone quickly look and see if this translation shows up in the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Can you do a folio search? You sure? Not Prabhasmiyasa? You sure we didn't borrow it from Chaitanya Charitamrita? I know it's in the printed book, but we may have copied it. I know it's in the 14th chapter, but Prabhupada, the verse was quoted by Lord Chaitanya. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita more than once. So it may be that we borrowed Prabhupada's translation. Before I talk about changing it, I want to see who wrote it. Just look up Adyayva Twad in CC. Because it doesn't look like our translation. Okay, we are here for
you. Don't see it?
One second. I'm sorry I'm holding things up, but this is an important thing. We've got to get this right. Okay. How does it go? Adyayva what? Twadvite, okay. There's no occurrences in folio? I'll put it in quote marks. It doesn't show up in folio. It's not in CC at all, okay. All right, in that case, I'll have to, rather than hold the class up, I'll have to investigate it. Maybe we took this out of one of the Sanskrit commentaries. Maybe somebody told, one of the acharyas said this. I'm marking a question mark here. After class, I'll look at this. Okay, so I can't answer that question yet. I'll have to work on it. Okay, we'll move on now to the next paragraph. 57.3. Na cha twayi janmada yo vikarak sant yaha itiyaha. And in you there are no birth and other changes. Okay, continuing in the same verse, Brahma makes a further point that there, in you there is no birth or any other change. We go through six changes: birth, growth, maturity, producing byproducts or offspring, declining, and death. So beginning with birth, six kinds of changes. But none of these occur in you. Ityaha adyak. Okay. And in you there are no birth and other changes, which is indicated by the word adyaha. Adyaha karanam. Eko si pratamam ityadau tadrishatva drishte. This is indicated that you have no birth, Krishna has no birth and changes. It's indicated by the word adyaha, which means the original cause. Adya just means first. But here, Jiva Goswami says it means karanam, first cause, original cause. We see it can be original something else, but Jiva Goswami says it means original cause. We see him described as the first cause in such statements as, first you were present alone. Eko si pratamam, that's Brahma's words. Therefore he has no birth. Well, let me read the Sanskrit. Ato na janma, kintu pratyakshatvam harir janma, navikara katanchana, iti padma ritikam eva. Therefore, he, the Lord, has no birth, but rather, in the manner that is described in the Padma Purana, Brahma Purana says, Lord Hari's birth is his becoming visible. He never undergoes any kind of change. He's not born, but when he appears where he wasn't visible before, that's called his birth. He doesn't undergo any kind of change, Brahma Purana confirms. Ata eva skande, and it says in the Skanda Purana, avigyaya param deham anandatmanam avyayam ado bayanti janimat panchabhutatmakam jadam iti. And thus it is said in the Skanda Purana, failing to understand his transcendental body, the infallible embodiment of bliss, people impose on it their idea that it takes birth and is an inert body made of the five elements. So people do have these misunderstandings about Krishna's body. The Skanda Purana tells us. Skanda Purana is supposed to be one of the Puranas in the mode of ignorance. It should be glorifying Lord Shiva or somebody else. And it does. But every Purana also has glorification of Krishna and of Lord Ramachandra. Puranas are not just completely in one mode or another. They're mixed. Even the Skanda Purana has sections of it that are presenting the glories of Krishna and pure devotional service in some parts of the Skanda Purana. Commentary? Standard authorities recognize six kinds of change that affect all material things. The earliest known enumeration of them, the six kinds of changes, is found in the Nirukta, the ancient Vedic glossary compiled by the sage Yaska. Shadbhava vikara bhavantiti varshyayanihi jayate sti viparinamate vardate pakshi apakshiyate vinashyatiti. So that says by Yaska, according to Varshyayani, there are six states of change. Something is born. It persists. It transforms. It grows. It dwindles. And it is destroyed. Not just living beings, all things. This is Yaska, the author of the Vedic dictionary, Nirukta. We don't even know how long ago he lived. And he's quoting somebody older than him called Varshayani. He's quoting Varshayani on these six changes. Yaska is talking how to understand the meaning of words. That's the purpose of his book. How to interpret words. The science of lexicography. He's talking about six kinds of changes because in general, words describe these changes. Especially verbs describe the changes that things undergo. So we should understand philosophically what kind of changes there are. If we divide up all activities into six kinds of changes, then we can put all the verbs in those six categories and analyze them. And nouns also describe these changes. But they are like snapshots. A noun is describing the condition of something unchanging at a particular moment or some duration of time. But when we describe the changes, we use verbs. We're applying this now. This is the earliest recorded definition of the six changes. The soul, all things. This table came into being. It will not last forever. It'll fall apart eventually, or be burned, or something will happen to it. Elephant will sit on it and get crushed. Something will happen. It's undergoing the six kinds of changes. It's not growing. No, it's not becoming a bigger... There's no baby tables. That's the difference between life and dead matter. Life reproduces itself. But the first of these, birth, can properly speaking occur only for what did not exist before. The Supreme Soul, and even the countless finite souls, that's us, are thus not born. Never was there a time when we did not exist. The Jayate Mriyate Vakadachit. The soul is never born and never dies. Bhagavad Gita 2:20. Brahma saw Krishna as the first cause, and many other authorities also testify to this. In the pastime of Brahma's bewilderment, Krishna showed himself alone first, then all the boys and the calves, and then himself again in multiple forms. Now that's just a particular event. It's not the beginning of creation. But in the versions of the Upanishad as well, the Supreme Person is said to be the first in everything, present alone before and after the material creation. So we can understand this ekosi pratamam in the bigger sense, that Krishna was the first thing that ever existed. Brahma's hinting at that in his words. Any questions? Yes.
This bewilderment of Brahma is not accepted by the Tattvavadis in the Madhva Sampradaya.
Madhvacharya didn't talk about it. He didn't write any comment on this chapter. He skipped over the whole three chapters. Because they consider Lord Brahma to be the greatest, the most perfect living entity. Therefore, he can't make mistakes like this. He's not supposed to make such mistakes. So it's embarrassing for them. I don't know if no Madhvite ever quotes from these chapters, but Madhvacharya didn't comment on them.
Okay. Nirukta is considered Smriti?
It's a Vedanga. Vedangas are Smriti because they're written by various sages. They're supplements to the Vedas. But they have authors. They didn't exist forever in those forms.
So the six transformations are not mentioned in Shruti anywhere?
Which?
The six transformations, because then that would be the oldest.
I mean, are they mentioned in Shruti? Good question. Not systematically, not in one place, a definition of all six at the same time, but I'm sure there are many statements in the Upanishads that are describing that these changes don't exist in the Supreme. But it's like this verse by Brahma, they're scattered throughout and they may not see all six in one place. But this is the first systematic, you know, one sentence definition of all six that we know about. Most of the knowledge in the Smriti that's elaborated by various sages, the seed of it is found in the Shruti anyway. Most practical sciences, you can find the basic information of it in the Shruti, in the Vedas, but it's scattered in different places, not presented systematically. Most of the information about how to organize Varnashram society, the important facts are there in the Vedas, about the position of the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas. But it's not presented in a systematic way, with clear definitions. That you find in the Smritis. Okay, any other questions? Now what about, why is he Adya? Why is he the original cause? That we discuss now, or Jiva Goswami discusses for us. Based on more of what Brahma says in this verse. Brahma goes on to explain how he's Adya, the first cause. Why? Adya Tve He Tuhu. Purusha. Purusha Akara Eva Sun. Puranaha. Purapi Navaha. Karyat Purvam Api Vartamanam Ityartaha. The reason for his being the first cause, is stated by Brahma, that he is Purusha. That means he's in the form of a person. And the Purusha comes first. He's the initiator of creation. And he's Purana. The word Brahma uses the word Purana. Jiva Goswami says Purana means, although ancient, also new. He's Pura and also Na. He's old and he's Nava, new. Or in other words, existing even before the visible creation. Shrutischa. And this is also stated in Shruti. Atmai Vedam Agra Asit Purusha Vidaha. That is the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the first part of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 1.4.1. In the beginning, only the soul, Atma, was present. Purusha Vidaha, in a personal form. There are other statements in other Upanishads, Sadeva Eka Asit. In the beginning, only the Sat was there. Or sometimes it said only the Asat was there. But here it says the Atma was there only in the beginning, and he was in the form of a person. Ata eva janmantarastitva lakshanam vikaram varayati. Consequently, the change of living in one life after another, janmantara, taking one birth and then another birth, that change, is denied by the word nityaha, having a personal form which is eternal. It also means sanatana murti. Always eternal, always the same. Not that you drop one body and take another one. Tata purvavan madhyamakara tvaipi purna iti vridhim. This also means this, that his form is eternal, also means that as described above, he is complete even when he is in a medium size appearance. That denies that he has any growth. Sometimes the Lord appears very big, sometimes he appears atomic size or subatomic, sometimes he appears in a middle size. Like in his avatars, he appears medium size. The same size as his devotees. Balaram married the daughter of the granddaughter of Kukudmi, Revati. She was too big because she was coming from Satyayuga. So he dragged her down to his own size. And when the Lord appears in this world, he puts himself in the same size as his devotees. He's middle size sometimes. But even when he's middle size, he's totally complete, purna. In other words, he doesn't change his size. He doesn't grow or shrink. Not really. He's just appearing in different sizes, like the supersoul. The supersoul in the ant's body is one size. It's the size of the thumb of the ant. And in the elephant body, he's the size of the thumb of the elephant, a lot bigger. But it's the same super soul. He's just projecting himself on different media. He doesn't grow, he doesn't shrink. Then ajasra sukho, nityam eva sukha rupa, iti parinamam. He is happy without interruption. Always appearing happy, which denies the idea of transformation. We go through changes. We're happy when the change is good. We're unhappy when the change is bad. But he's always happy. That's an indication he's not going through changes. The the words were Ajastu Sukho, and Jiva Goswami is reading that as evidence that he doesn't have changes. Sukasya Pumstvam Chandasam Vijnanam Anandam Brahma Ityanandasya Napumsakatvavat. Okay, grammatical point here. Here the word Sukha, Ajastu Sukha, is used in the masculine gender by Vedic usage, similar to the word Ananda being used in the neuter in the words Brahman is pure consciousness and bliss. Well, in the Vedas, in the Vedic language, you can cut corners or you can break the rules about the grammatical endings. You can change the case or change the gender much more freely than you can in classical Sanskrit. So just for Sukho, we're not taking it, Jiva Goswami is not taking it as a Bahuvrihi. We're saying that he is happiness. And happiness is supposed to be neuter. But it's masculine here, that's just liberty allowed in Upanishadic language, which is more free. There's a statement in one of the Brahmanas, part of the Vedas, Shruti, which says that in the beginning of creation, the demigods didn't have any grammar. Anyway, they didn't have any grammar rules. They just talked. They said whatever they wanted. And the words, the words followed them. And they were smart enough to talk sensibly. But then things started getting confused by the influence of the modes. And the demigods requested Indra, could you write a grammar for us? Give us some rules for how to speak, right? So Indra wrote the first grammar on the request of the demigods, according to the Brahmanas. So Vedic language, the grammar is less strict. Okay. Tata akshara iti apakshayam, amrita iti vinasham. The two words are also there in Brahma's prayer. The Lord Krishna is akshara and he's amrita. He is also incorruptible. Akshara. Akshara means can decay or decay. Akshara is that which doesn't have any decay. Incorruptible. That denies the idea of decay. And he's amrita, immortal, which denies destruction. There's no death, no destruction in him. So those are the six changes. Purna tve hetu. It was said he was full, which means he doesn't get any bigger because he's already full, complete. He's already complete, he doesn't have to get any bigger. Children get bigger because they're not mature yet. Their brains aren't developed enough for them to understand philosophy. So Plato said you shouldn't study dialectics until you're 30 years old. And Prabhupada didn't expect children to understand Bhagavad Gita until they're 12 or 13 years old. The brain has to grow. But if you're born, if you are complete eternally, you're not incomplete, you don't have to grow. Okay. The reason for his being complete is stated. Purna tve hetu. Anantaha. Advaya. These are two other words used by Brahma. He's Ananta and he's Advaya. Iti desha kala paricheda rahitah. Vastu paricheda rahitopi. Anyasya tachaktitvat tam vina anavastanat. The reason for his being complete is stated, that he is unlimited and free from duality, which means that he is free from limitation by space and time, and also free from the difference of separate objects. See, three kinds of difference. Or three kinds of... limitation by space and time. Also, limitation that one thing is not the other thing. A pot is not a lamp. So you need to light up the room. Don't try to do it with a pot. You have to get a lamp. There's limitation. One thing cannot be another thing. One thing cannot be in the same place as another thing. One thing that exists now can't exist later. So there's limitations of space, time, and identity. three different kinds of limitation. But he's free from those three kinds of limitation because everything else, being his energy, has no basis of existence separate from him. That's stated by the words unlimited and free from duality. He doesn't have any limit of time and space, and he's nothing is different from him. Everything is coming from him. So he's, you can't say that Krishna can't do what a pot does, or Krishna can't do what a lamp does. All the lamps and pots are coming from Krishna. He can do whatever they do. So no duality. Therefore, no limitation. Okay, I'm going to stop. We have only 2 minutes. I'll read the commentary tomorrow. We'll review this, quickly review this paragraph and read the commentary tomorrow. Any questions? 2 minutes for questions, yes. Yes.
One should learn this Bhagavata philosophy from Komara H.
Yes. He didn't say they should read all 12 cantos of the Bhagavatam. A child can understand the principles of devotional service by hearing them, but even more by seeing them in practice. By seeing the example of devotees, he can imitate them. He doesn't have to study books, a child. So, you notice that Prahlad was not distributing Bhagavatam, was distributing books to his friends. He was talking to them. So, this is, you know, a child can understand a simple explanation and he can see the example of the devotees. Okay.
We can see that Krishna, he also undergoes changes from Kaumara age, then to Paugandaga age, and then to his form.
That's apparent.
Yeah, apparent.
He apparently was born and left this world too.
So how to understand all these changes?
These are his eternal aspects. He has three ages, you know, three stages of life. All three are eternal. And he shows them in his pastimes. In his Prakrita Leela, his earthly pastimes, visible public pastimes, he follows a time schedule. He accepts voluntarily the restrictions of time and space. He doesn't have to. But as long as he's doing his public pastimes, he stays within the limits of time and space. He does one thing after another. He's young, then he's a youth, then he gets older. According to schedule, he doesn't turn it around and go around in circles. Now, once he's 7 years old, he's not 6 years old again. In the Aprakata Leela, he can. The time can go in reverse and in circles, but not in the Prakrita Leela. But that's just how Krishna agrees voluntarily to go along with the limitations of time and space. It is visible, public pastimes.
Does it mean that when he manifests, because we can see that it's not like he has one form, then three years old form, then he manifests at 5 years old.
Yeah, so, and he does it, you know, according to a particular frame of time.
Yeah.
1 year later, he's a year older.
Yeah, and it seems that he was growing as if he were. Like,
but that's just him revealing
child.
Revealing different eternal aspects and different eternal pastimes of his. According to schedule, he follows a schedule in his public pastimes. But it's not that he's controlled by time. He just agrees to go along with it. Voluntarily agrees to play along with time and show different aspects of himself according to schedule. That's not material growth because he's not controlled by that time.
So does it mean that because he is in this material world, in order to satisfy his devotees, he is growing?
To satisfy his devotees, he pretends to be under the control of time.
Uh-huh. Okay, and in these cases, can we say that it's like a different chain of manifestation of different forms of Krishna which are existing eternally in the spiritual world? Like one form and then after 1 second, a little bit different.
Those forms or those aspects are all existing simultaneously. I wouldn't say form because we use form to mean different expansions. This is the same original Krishna, Tadekatma, original Krishna, but he's got different aspects to his personality. He's a baby. We don't say that the baby Krishna is a different form than grown-up Krishna. They're the same Krishna, just at different phases, different aspects, different phases, which all exist eternally, each one of them separately. Okay? Balaram and Krishna are two different forms, but Krishna 1-year-old and Krishna 3-year-olds are the same form at different times. There's a spiritual time in the spiritual world. Okay, we'll stop. Thank you, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.